Okay, as far as this performance goes, this isn't the most renowned play.
Certainly not.
Street. So what was the reasoning behind picking this performance?
Picking Epicene, particularly, when we started talking about the festival, I'm going to duck aside a minute, so I have a little less noise in a moment. When we started talking about the festival, our producing director, Aaron Smiley, and our associate artist director, Don Bronson, said, well, you're going to have to direct whatever we do, because neither of us really do classic. And we have so many shows on the queue lined up over the years, of like, oh, we're going to do this one day, we're going to do this one day. But it had been a long time since we sort of said, well, I don't know what we're going to do, let's read some plays. And we started going through the canons of a lot of people. We're big Marlowe fans of Redirection, but our first main stage was Edward II. And we ended up, didn't know if I wanted, the only other Marlowe play I was really interested in was Faustus, which I just don't feel is conducive, production value-wise, the way I wanted to do it is not conducive to a festival setting. So we started reading through some things, and I started reading through the complete works of Ben Jonson. And at this, you know, sitting in the bar by myself, eating some wings, and drinking beer and reading Epicene, and it's the first classic that I literally laughed out loud just reading it. and I was really, to be honest, I'm really amazed it's not done more often, as much from a textual and plot standpoint, as much as we could in a lot of Shakespeare's messier comedy. And it's really one, I mean, it's a challenge to adapt, and it wasn't until last Wednesday we were doing our sort of final work through some moments of the show, and I turned to my assistant and I said, this is a really hard play. And of course, realized that 3 weeks into the rehearsal process. But it was challenging, but I think if you have a judicious eye and a judicious big red pencil, and you focus on, it's almost, I was talking with one of the actors the other day, it's almost kind of an ancestor of Commedia dell'arte, because it's actually not in meter, it's not in verse at all. It's completely prose, which was a little thorny getting into the actor's mouth, but once you really embrace it and sort of add physicality to it, it's incredibly funny. It's an incredibly funny play, and it actually works really well.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading through today. It's actually available online. You can just click. There's links all over the place, and I'm a big Molière fan, like Tartuffe and things like that. And just the thought that this was written, you know, before then, so far, this guy, you know, Johnson was very ahead of his time. I mean, how does that make you feel to kind of, like, work with something that still has, like, staying power? Like, of course, the dialogue and things like that are much different, but, like, the idea of something like this happening is very, like, it could be on a sitcom today.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, really, if you just added some rhyming couplets, it'd almost be a Molière piece, you know, and I think we really enjoyed that, and that's like I said, I'm very surprised it's not done more often because of how funny and how much it works, especially when you add physicality to it. However, you know, I mean, it was really one of the only plays at the time that was completely prose and completely blank, and that's challenging for an actor because there's something about, I said to them when we started out, in a way, it's a plus that.
Sorry, guys, you know.
I said, you know, in a way, it's sort of nice not to be chained to the meter, but by the same token, we don't get the same hints that the meter gives us of how the playwright wants us to say it. So, you know, there's pros and cons to it.
Okay, you were mentioning before some of the challenges that went into the production. What else was going on that really, like, you kind of, you know, had to fight along the way?
A big thing was that we had to, in the play, there's these tools to, sort of ancestors of really Commedia clowns in the Knights of Sir John Daw and La Foule. I decided to be really masochistic to be an actor and have Daw, Otter, and Cutmere played by the same actor. So he's racing around viciously cursing my name as he does his quick changes, but it actually works really nicely. There's a major subplot. Daw and La Foule's point dramaturgically in the show is to get the party to Roses, the mean old uncle who we torture for most of the play, and they had a subplot of having a physical entanglement. honestly, it served a purpose. I really needed to cut all of that stuff, or else the play would be 5 hours long. And we really cut a huge part of their subplot out. So really, it was actually the biggest challenge, I think, in the room was cutting and pasting the text so that it was still true to a Johnson's initial thought, and I'm sure he's been spinning his grave ever since I started doing this play. I'm comfortable with that. Was trying to fill the gaps to make their conflict is still important, and it was trying, and we established it before the stuff I cut in Act 4, so it was really trying to connect the dots to make, give them a new conflict, or give them a conflict that made sense, a conflict that made sense in the context of the way we were doing everything. So that was probably the biggest hurdle.
Just looking at you know, the characters in this play, you need a incredibly talented cast to really pull this off. Can you just talk about some of the members of your troupe?
Sure, absolutely. I was extremely blessed this particular show. The only redirections, we have a small company of regular associate artists who do most of our things as actors. We also have designers and stage managers on staff. But the only one joining us is for this play is Catherine Lawson, who's done several shows for me. She's actually playing a role we invented for her called the Spear Carrier, where she's playing every few page musician servant in the entire play with a bunch of quick changes, both genders. Yeah. And but the whole cast is really amazing. We have these tremendously talented young actors in the male and female trio. And these are guys who are going to be doing, they're going to be doing Shakespeare in the Public and on Broadway in a couple of years, and I'm just very grateful to have them for a couple months before they realize you can buy things with money and go work for better people. I've been very, very fortunate that both the trios in the show and our knights are incredibly, incredibly talented, and they all come from ludicrously over-educated backgrounds. They're all from Yale and Brown and all those things. And so the great thing about that is they walked in with having a really good, they walked in without having to have a lot of things translated for them. You know, I mean, they're really comfortable with the text in their mouth. They're really comfortable with dialects. And that was a real testament to their upbringing. So, yeah, they're really, it's, I would say, probably the most talented classics cast I've ever had. So.
Okay, you guys opened up on the 22nd. How's the reception been so far?
It's been good. You know, I was saying, it's funny, I was saying to Aaron, our producing director, after the show last night, I watched the show and I felt like it went pretty well, and, you know, a couple little bumps, but I was like, well, that went pretty well. And then I talked to the audience members who were here, who were friends and family of the cast and other people who just sort of told them, and after talking to them, I guess it went really well, because everybody was extremely impressed, and everybody really, really, really enjoyed the show. Everybody was amazed at the ambition of the piece and getting it up in the due to the tech I had for another show, we actually put the show up in 20 days. And everybody was truly like, the reception was so good, I was like, oh, I guess it's better than I thought it was, which was sort of a pleasant surprise, and something I'm always happy to hear. So the reception so far, I'm not sure exactly who all is going to come out for the play, because I don't know exactly what the target audience is for it, but it's part of the larger picture of the festival of saying, you know, we love Shakespeare here, we're huge Shakespeare dorks, but there's so much incredible theater in these 200 years that was sort of overshadowed by its freakish genius, and you know, they deserve a light on them. And it's not only just doing these plays that haven't been done in New York in so long, but it's also showing to other companies and showing to the theater community that they're producible, and they should be produced, and that they're not these huge obtuse beasts that everybody's scared of. So,
absolutely. You said before that the audience really has no target age group, so. Let's just say a person comes to the performance and they have a great time. If they could just tell you one phrase that would kind of like make your day, that like something that they got out of the performance, what do you think that would be?
I understood everything that was going on. That would be delightful because there's so many twists and there's so many turns and there's so many characters. I mean, it's a cast of 12, which for an indie show is huge, and we did so much editing, and we tried so hard to say, it was very important to me as we were receiving submissions for the festival that our criteria was that whatever pieces were submitting had to stay at least 80% of the original text. And because it's playing the play, it's not necessarily, the production is company's problem, but it's really important to me that we show that the text is playable. And so we had to, but however, if you did every word of this play the way it's written, it would, but I was trying to eyeball it the other day, and actually think it would be almost 5 hours long.
Wow.
It's, I mean, like, we have, I mean, ours is, with intermission is 2:35, which is pretty short for a classic, but it's still 15 minutes longer than I wanted it to be. But, you know, there's so much happening in the plot, and we had to do so much cutting and pasting that I've been trying to keep a really, as best as I can, I've been trying to keep a really objective eye on, you know, whether or not we were keeping a consistent story arc, so.
Yeah, it sounds great. Is there anything else that you want to say about the performance or anything about the festival to kind of get people interested or to get them to come down?
Yeah, I think there's something for everybody. If you like, I mean, if you like theater in general, but especially if you love classics, we have so much going on. We have this Goethe Lieder piece, which is this song cycle based on, by Hugo Wolf, based on the works of Goethe. You know, we have Billy Porter starring in a really wonderful stage reading of Dido, Queen of Carthage. You know, we had a piece called Cudito Ergo Sum, which was a combination of a Descartes piece and the reading of an 18th century cookbook. You know, we have all these sort of, you know, so it's definitely a classic indie theater twist, and but we're very much trying to open it up to as many people as possible, and also say that even if you don't necessarily think that you enjoy classics, we think we can change your mind. And there's something for every taste, and there's something for every dorks of every stripe. And we're very proud to be dork here. We mentioned so.
So tickets are available online, right?
Mm-hmm. Available on SmartTix, or they can go to Redirections Theater@RE.com, and they can see the whole festival lineup and find something that works for them. And whenever somebody wants to come down, we'd be happy to have them.